good morning. Let me encourage you to go ahead and get your Bibles and open them to two different passages. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 9, which is the verses that you just heard read in that video, and then also Matthew chapter 1, where that prophecy is fulfilled. So open up to both of those places, and we'll read those passages in just a moment. Today we're beginning a new series entitled Wonder. And listen, I think it's very apropos for Christmas, because listen, that is the feeling that a lot of us long for at Christmas, this sense of wonder. So much of what we do at Christmas is about trying to cultivate that spirit of wonder. That's why we put so much time and effort and money into decorations. You know, we're trying to create that spirit of wonder. And when I say we, I mean you, because I don't personally do all that much with decorations. In fact, I got a text from one of my elders last night, said he was driving through our neighborhood and responded that our decorations got a great big bah humbug because we didn't have anything out yet. I told him I'd show him where the boxes are if he wants to come by and help, and all of a sudden I didn't get a response. But anyways, you know, we want to create that wonder, and I really appreciate those people who really do go all out, because I love to drive around, see all the lights and the inflatables and all of that stuff. In fact, last week when I took my parents home after Thanksgiving, was driving through their neighborhood, and I saw this picture or this house with what was without a doubt the largest Santa Claus inflatable that I have ever seen. It was literally bigger than their house, and I had to stop and take a picture, because like, wow, that is absolutely incredible, that spirit of wonder. And listen, that's what we do with the gifts that we give. Don't you just love it when you give a gift to a kid and it is the gift that they were looking for, and they just kind of explode with this wow and wonder over Christmas morning? Or when you give that just right special gift to that special person and you're looking in their eyes the whole time because you're wanting to see if it stirs that sense of wow and wonder in them. Listen, even the actual Christmas story from the Bible, it's full of this spirit of wonder and wow. Now, we've heard it so many times, and a lot of times we don't hear it that way, but think about what we're told happened that first Christmas. There is this miraculous pregnancy. A virgin conceives. That ought to stir some sense of wow in us. And then you have these angelic beings showing up to announce the Messiah's arrival. The nation of Israel had been waiting for that for centuries after centuries, and that would have evoked a wow. And then you have this story of the wise men traveling from a distant country, following a star of all things, and they arrive with these treasures of gifts. It all evokes that spirit of wow. Christmas is about the wow of wonder. It's almost as if maybe God knew that we could use a little wow and wonder in our ordinary lives. You know, for me, as I look at 2017, as this year's coming to a wrap, in a lot of ways, this year seems to me that it has been the hardest, toughest year ever. Not necessarily for me personally, but just when you look at the world and what's going on in our country. Now, it could be that I'm just getting old, but that's what it feels like to me. I don't think I've ever seen our nation so divided. You know, politically, it's not enough just to overcome your opponent anymore, but you've got to destroy your opponent. That seems to be the pervasive feeling across the aisle. And the racial division in our country, from the hate that we saw put on display in Charlottesville to the protests in the NFL and the ongoing racial inequality that does exist in our land, it seems that things are moving in the wrong direction. And then, worse than even those things, you have the ravages of war and the ongoing threats of war, the banter that is kicked around in North Korea is increasingly alarming. The radical Islamic terrorism continues to just kind of overshadow everything. Even as ISIS has been increasingly defeated in Syria, the fight isn't going away. I read an article this week that was talking about a lot of the women that had been brought in to ISIS during that reign that are now leaving, and they're leaving as refugees. But one of the things that they're discovering is they're fleeing this Islamic state. Some of them who are fleeing have actually become recruited for the purpose of carrying out future suicide bombings. And some of those that they interviewed talked about how their dreams for their children is to see their children grow up to be martyrs to continue the cause. That's just crazy. It's just overwhelming. And then when you talk about madness, you have to look right here at home. The senseless shootings that have taken place in Sutherland Springs, Texas. In Las Vegas, and it was just down the road in Antioch, Tennessee. And then in recent news cycles, it seems like there's just this ongoing crisis of sexual misconduct that has come to the public forum. A couple of weeks ago, Time magazine had an article in which they identified 60 well-known public figures accused of sexual misconduct. And that was before this last week. It just seems like the world is going crazy. One person described what's been happening with the misconduct as kind of a national reckoning. And make no mistake about it, there's always a reckoning for our sin. Galatians 6:7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. God's prophet Hosea put it this way: they have planted the wind, and they will harvest the whirlwind. The reality is, it's just kind of crazy right now. And I know some of you this morning, maybe even right now, you're sitting there and you're thinking and feeling the weight of all of this, and you're even wondering, wait a minute, I thought we were going to talk about Christmas this morning. I mean, you even had those nice drawings of the manger, and where's the joy and the celebration? And gosh, this is such a downer. But let me tell you, that's actually the right emotion that you begin the Christmas story in. You know, we like to think of it all as joy and celebration and the sentimentality of the Hallmark Christmas movies. But listen, Christmas, when you go back and read the story, you'll find that it is rooted in danger and despair and fear and broken humanity. And that's exactly what we see in the prophets. Isaiah declared incredible good news. But it was good news in the context of a crazy, broken world. Let's listen again to what he says in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. This is the good news, he says. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end, and his rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. That is good news. It sounds incredible. But what we need to do is to take that good news and place it back in the context of what was happening in the world right then, what was happening in history right then. And the reality is, we can place it back in history. It was written during a time of 734 to 732 BC, and the nation of Israel was at war. There was a king in Assyria by the name of Tiglath-Pileser who had attacked the northernmost cities of Israel, and he had ravaged those cities. He took entire tribes of the children of Israel into Assyria, and they were now enslaved. Entire tribes that disappeared. 2 Kings chapter 15 verse 29 describes exactly what was happening during this time. And he says in 2 Kings 15 29, King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria attacked Israel again, and he attacked and captured the towns of Ijon, Abel-Beth-Maacah, Genoa, Kadesh, and Hazor, and he conquered the regions of Gilead and Galilee and all of Naphtali, and he took the people to Assyria as captives. It was a dark, crazy, out-of-control time, and in the midst of that, he says, and a child has been born. Not just any child, but a king. And that was really important because the king of Israel had just been assassinated. For the nation of Israel, it felt like all the world was coming apart, that it was just pure chaos, that everything was broken. And then he brings the message. But there's a child that is about to be born, a child that is of the hand of God, and this child is going to bring in a completely new world. Listen, God was saying, there's hope. I'm not done. When you feel like you're at the end of your rope, when you feel like things have gone south as far as they can go, he said, I want you to know that I am still here and I am still at work. All they saw was darkness and despair. But God said, I am not done yet. I'm still at work. And listen, for some of you come to the Christmas season. And all of those things that I talked about, all of that stuff that's happening in the world out there right now, you look at that and you say, yeah, that's out there. That's not even the bad stuff. That's not the stuff that I am dealing with in my own life. And listen, when you come to the Christmas story itself, you need to understand that that world was broken as well. When Jesus came to Bethlehem, things were out of control. Rome ruled with an iron fist. Israel longed for a Messiah. It had been 400 years since they had even heard from a prophet to bring a message of hope. And into that great darkness came again this message that God had delivered. It's almost as if God could understand that we could use a little wonder in our lives. That's the message of the prophet, that God is still in charge. He is still in control, even in the midst of the chaos. And so there's some things that we need to learn from the prophets, things that we need to learn from them today. And the first thing that we need to understand is this, number one, that God knows what I do not know. Just like God, through his prophets, is telling the nation of Israel, listen, all you see is darkness, all you see is despair, but listen, there's some things you don't know. The truth is, wherever you are in your life today, there are some things that you don't know, that God knows what I do not know. And the message of prophets was simply this, that God has a plan. Listen, not once in all of eternity has God ever said, wow, I didn't see that coming. God has never been caught off guard. He always knows. He knows more than we know. He is in charge even in the chaos. Now, that doesn't mean that God caused the chaos. But you need to understand, whatever it is that you're working in your life, that he is not surprised by it. He's not dumbfounded by it. God takes the worst around us, and he begins to work in it for our good and for his glory. God knows. And listen, I am aware that for some of you, all the craziness in the world out there, it doesn't begin to compare to what's going on in here. All of that's out there. But in here, there's some of you right now that are struggling with divorce. There's some of you that are dealing with betrayal. There's some of you that are dealing with diagnosis, things like cancer. There's some of you that are dealing with disappointment, broken relationships, addiction. And all of that is right here. But you need to understand the message of the prophets. God knows where you are. God knows who you are. And God is not done. It is a message of hope for us. Listen, I've been out of church a little bit recently. During the fall, that's the time of the year when I take some time off. And this week, I was at a restaurant here in town. Ran into a lady who attends here. And you see that where she said hi. And then all of a sudden, it was like there was this question, this moment of recognition where she looked at me and she said, Hey, are you still at New Work Fellowship? And I said, yeah, I'm still at New Work. She said, you're still preaching there. And I said, yeah, I'm still there. I'm still the pastor there. I'm still there. And she said, well, you know, I've been coming, and I've just not seen you. And she said, and then I was there that week when they had that new guy, the young guy who preached. And she said, I just thought, well, they've replaced him. I told David not to get any ideas. But listen, that's when you know you've been gone a lot, right? When people assume, oh, he's gone. He's not here anyway. So let me just take a moment today and introduce myself to you. In case you are new here, my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. My official title is lead pastor, although you won't hear me say that a lot because honestly, if you have to tell people you're the leader, chances are you're not the leader. So I'm just one of the pastors here. And of course, our culture around here, one of the slogans that we have is that leadership is partnership. And what that means is that, listen, there really is no special privileges for being lead pastor or anything like that. I was also reminded of that while I was taking some time away. I was here for services. Those weeks when I was out, would attend one service, but that means I didn't see many of you. And during that time, typically what I'm doing is I'm spending a lot of time in the woods hunting or just sitting in the woods. There's a fine line between the two. So anyway, I spent a lot of time in the woods and had not been around my grandchildren as much as I'm accustomed to or as I like. And so one week after I attended a service, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go down to the preschool, to the nursery, and see my granddaughter, Charlie Ann. We have a picture of her. Isn't she the precious? I mean, she just sweet. You know what she's saying in that picture? Can you hear it? She's saying, Papa, pick me up. That's what, can you hear it? She's saying, Papa, pick me up. And I look at that, I think, oh, yeah, who could ever deny that? Papa, pick me up. And so, you know, who could resist that cuteness? So I stopped by down here at the nursery, and Renika was there, and Renika knows me. Heck, I'm the one who hired Renika. Just throwing that out there. So I stopped by and I told her, I said, hey, I'd like to get Charlie Ann for a little bit. And she asked me, do you have her security tag? I smiled and I said, no. But you know me, Renika. And she said, I'm sorry, if you don't have the security tag, you can't pick her up. Who could say no to that face? Renika can say no to that face. That's a true story. And I have to tell you, it made me really, really sad. Because the truth is, I liked Renika. I hated to fire her. No, I didn't do that. She's right on the mark. Listen, I get it. Security can feel like a big old deal, and at times it may appear excessive, and I understand that. But look at it this way. If you are personally responsible and personally accountable for the safety and whereabouts of 200 children, you personally, 200 children, how serious would you take that responsibility? Now, we're not perfect. We're still getting there, but we do try. The reality is, listen, our world has changed. It really has. We have children who come here to church, and those kids, due to nothing that they have done, they're sometimes caught in a custody fight. And we've got to honor and protect those children when they are surrendered to our care. And the reality is, there are children, older brothers or sisters, who will sometimes come and say, I'm supposed to get my little brother or my little sister. Now, I know your children never lie, but let me tell you, in the other services, their children lie to us sometimes. And so, you know, we have to be aware of that. And the truth is, some of the rumors that you've heard of grandparents who go rogue and ignore the rules, there is some truth in that, I suspect. Listen, we have to understand that we have to be absolutely committed to security and to safety. And it's really helpful when all of us understand that and when all of us do our best in that. We talk about leadership is partnership. That's not just a saying for our elders and our pastors. That is for all of us. And listen, that illustration is akin to the truth of what God's prophecy was for his people with the announcement that Jesus was coming. When the world was crazy, when the world was spinning out of control, God wanted his people to know that he was committed to the very best for them, that he would keep his promises, that God was not caught by surprise by any of it, and that even in the midst of chaos, he was working for their good. And when the world was overwhelmed with evil, God was still firmly in charge and engaged. And listen, you want to get this. While the people were despairing, God was preparing. Now, there's not a place for you to write that down in your outline, but you want to get that. When the people were despairing, God was preparing. And when you feel like your life is coming apart, you need to hear the message of the prophets. That God still has a plan. That's the wonder of Christmas. Do not give up. Do not give in. Do not be overwhelmed, but come before him with wonder, knowing God knows what I do not know, and therefore I can trust him. I can trust him. God knows what I do not know, therefore I can trust him. That's the message from the prophet. The second thing that we need to hear from the prophet is this, that God sees what I do not see. Listen again to what it says in Isaiah chapter 9. We read the good news a moment ago, but now listen to the context. Listen to how Isaiah sets up that great announcement, for unto us a child is born. Listen to where it starts, chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. In other words, in chapter 5, that's what he'd been talking about. Darkness, despair, madness in the world. He says it's not going to go on forever. The land of Zebulun and the Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you, as a people rejoice at harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warriors and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned, and they will be fuel for the fire. There was this theme of darkness and despair, but God says, listen, even though right now it may be this horrible reality, God says, listen, in Galilee, that was the northern area that had been so oppressed, that had been so overrun, God says, in Galilee, there is coming a glory that you simply cannot understand. In fact, the darkness is so dark that you maybe not even be able to see it right now. But what he's talking about is the promise of Jesus. God makes a promise and God keeps his promise. He's saying it's like a light in the darkness. It's like a farmer with a huge harvest. It's like a warrior that has won the battle and has received his reward. God says, I see what you cannot see. I see what you cannot see. And listen, when you and I understand that God sees in our future, what you can't see, what you can't see, what you can't see, what you can't see. We begin to realize when we understand that God sees what I can't see, that means that I need to follow him. I need to follow him, not just trust him, but I need to follow him. I need to stay close to him. When you're walking through life in places that you've never been before, you need someone that you can follow. Follow him. When Diana and I took our anniversary trip to Arizona, one of the places that we wanted to see is a place called The Wave. It's kind of a rare little spot on the border of Utah and Arizona. Only 20 people a day are allowed in to see this place. You have to actually get a permit. And the way you get a permit is you have to enter a lottery, and only a certain number are drawn out, and that's the only way that you get to go to this place. And so you have to enter this lottery. It is exceedingly rare, but we actually won the lottery on the first time that we applied. And by we, I don't mean me, I mean Diana won the lottery in her application. And so we were able to go into this place. Our guide told us that how rare that is. In fact, he said there was one guy that he took to The Wave this past year that had tried to get in for 6 years. And it took him that long in order to get in. He told us about another lady that he took in that she went in, she finally got won the lottery and got her permit on her 52nd attempt to get in. So it's really rare to get in that way. But it's just absolutely an incredible place. I mean, it's just stunning to see. So when we went, we'd never been there before. It's remote. There's like about a 5-mile hike in, and it's unmarked backcountry. And so we decided we're going to hire a guide. And so we're literally going over this ridge. It's vertical just like that. That's the guide out in front. We needed somebody who in this unknown territory could see what we couldn't see, who could make it easy for us to follow. And listen, that's the message of the Christmas prophets. In your life, in your world, it may become really difficult for you to see ahead. And if it's not right now, that's something you can rejoice in. But for all of us, there are going to be those seasons when it's really difficult to see what is ahead. And there can be chaos. But you need to understand that our God sees the way through it all. He's not absent. He's not present. In fact, do you remember what the prophet declared, and then Matthew picks up on this in his telling of the Christmas story? And in Matthew, listen to what he says. In verse 22, he says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. He's hearkening back to Isaiah, and listen to what he says. This is his interpretation. He says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You see, God wants to be present with us. The truth is, during Christmas, some of you will feel as alone during this season as you do any time in your life. But the message of the Christmas prophets is this: you are not alone. God is with you. Whatever you're going through, he is in it with you. Whatever struggle is overwhelming you, he is there beside you. He is not lost in the way. He is there to guide us, to show us, to help us. And all you have to do is turn to him. Jeremiah, another prophet, put it this way. He said, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. God is saying, I'm right here. Trust me. Follow me. Let me ask you today, have you put your faith and have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? The truth is, Christmas isn't about decorations or gifts or all the stuff that we busy our life with. It's about Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah who has come into the world, God's own Son, God's own flesh, who came into this crazy, chaotic world to save us, to guide us, to give us not only the best life here, but to give us the promise and the hope of eternal life. But it all begins when you accept Him and when you trust Him and follow Him. After all, you might remember that one of the things that Jesus said to people his entire life was, follow me. Follow me. Trust me. Walk with me. And there's one more thing that the prophets of the dark seasons teach us, and that is this: God provides what I need. God provides what I need. Notice how the prophet described the results of this child and who this child would be. He says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called, listen to these four titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That phrase, Wonderful Counselor, he weds together two words, wonder, wow, miraculous, extraordinary, with the idea of wisdom and plans and advice. Jesus not only knows what's best when you follow him, he is the one who can make your life and my life a wonder. He is the wonderful counselor. Lean into him. He is the mighty God. Perhaps a better translation is he is the warrior God. It is a God who fights for you. He puts his life on the line for you. And in fact, when you think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that's exactly what he did. He laid down his life for you in order to win the fight that you and I could not win on our own. He is a mighty God, and he is an everlasting Father. He's faithful. He's never absent. He's trustworthy. In a world where there are so many people who will let you down, we're told from the beginning that God promises Jesus is not one of those. He is an everlasting Father. He embodies God the Father, and he is for you throughout all eternity, and he is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Only in Jesus do we find that wholeness, that completeness, that blessing that never ends, that we long for. In other words, Jesus brings us all that we need, all that we long for. And so what do you do when you find yourself in a place where you really just don't know what to do? Well, let me encourage you to do this. Ask him. Ask him what you're doing to do. I mean, if Jesus really is the fulfillment of a promise that God gives us what we need, then you ask him. In fact, Jesus put it this way. He said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Now, that doesn't mean that God is some kind of, you know, sort of Santa who brings you whatever is on your Christmas list. But he's telling us that we can have confidence that our good Father is faithful to provide good for us, even in the midst of chaos. Paul put it this way, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Ask yourself the question, what is it that you need to ask today? Listen, you need to understand this God we worship, he is a promise maker. And not only that, he's one that keeps his promises. He does exactly what he said he would do. So don't give up. Don't be overwhelmed. But let the awe and the wonder of Christmas bring you into his presence. And that brings us to our final thought. This year, when you are overwhelmed, remember the wonder that's found in the promise of Jesus. Trust Him, follow Him, and ask Him for whatever it is that you need. After all, God is with us. He is for us. And we worship Him with wonder. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father and our Lord, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that He is a promise that was made from the very beginning, and that You kept Your promise. You brought Him into this world. And Father, we rejoice in the relationship that we have with Him. He accomplishes exactly what Your purpose is for Your kingdom. So Father, help us to trust and to follow closely and to know that we can come before You and ask for the needs in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our ushers are coming right now to receive our morning offering. And as we give back to the Lord a gift out of the abundance of all that He's given to us, we also want to encourage you to place that completed Connect card in the basket so that we really might stay connected with you. And in just a moment, we're going to invite you to stand with us as we sing and we continue to worship our God, that He is a God who keeps all of His promises, who does exactly what He says He will do, that He is faithful and He is dependable and He is worthy of our worship.